let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us on the program today, Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Bob Nieder is a native New Yorker born and raised in the Bronx. Coming off his first novel, Sense of a Hummingbird, Bob is a fictional author presenting his second tale, Battersea Island. He attended Pace University in Manhattan, completing his major in elementary education. Having been employed in the health insurance and healthcare industries for 35 years, 10 years in the delivery trucking business mixed in, Bob brings a varied insight from the streets of New York to the corporate world to the backroads of America. Currently retired, residing on the west coast of Central Florida with his wife and his daughter. And he's with us on today's This Week in America to talk about his new novel, Battersea Island. Robert Bob Nieder with us on the program. Bob, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you, Rick, and it is a pleasure to be with you. This is something all new to me, but I really look forward to, as I said, hanging out with Rick.
Well, we're going to do that here, and I like that because that's what we try to do for 15, 20 minutes, is to spend a little time together, find out about you and about the book. And it's interesting, I mentioned your wife and your daughter. They both are very instrumental in this whole writing process for you. Talk about that. Your daughter, very talented illustrator, and your wife sort of does all the proofreading and keeps you, you talk about her being there for mental health efforts as you're going through writing a book. Talk about the impact of the family on writing the books.
Well, unfortunately, it's the impact I have on them. But my daughter, she's going to be turning 19 soon, and this is one I'm really, she's our only child, and I'm very proud of this young lady. This book, Battersea Island, was, we started that a good 2 years ago. She was still in high school, and I had asked her, she's very talented at sketching, so I had asked her to do some, the cover of the book. Every chapter has a sketch that precedes it, and she promptly told me that she was very busy with school. She's one of those super students. She actually school valedictorian last year.
Great.
Anyhow, for the cost of $100, she found herself to be unbusy, and I would take photos of certain things, and she would just sort of replicate it in a sketch. And I like that. I'm probably more proud of her artwork than anything that I have ever written. Now, it's my wife that's a sad tale. She'll proofread. She does some, you know, error corrections, something maybe doesn't make sense, something that's repeated. But she has to deal with typical New York temperament. And as a writer, we always believe we know what we're doing and everyone else is wrong, right down to the editors.
Exactly, yes.
We kind of overcome that by within a 24-hour period and realize, yep, they're right, just follow their lead. So now my wife will stay up very late at night. She still works, and she really puts in a terrific effort.
The book is called Battersea Island. That's the new one. The first book, Sense of a Hummingbird. Robert H. Nieder, our guest on the program. The book's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, at Bob's website, which is Bob Nieder, and that's Nieder.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly and get information on Bob and his books. Let's talk a little bit about where the story came from. Battersea Island, talk about that, and Matthias and some of the main characters in the book.
The story comes from a good friend of mine down here, Jerry Forster, younger fella. And I don't know how we got into this, but it was the basis for the first two books. He is born and raised out of right outside of Charleston, South Carolina. And he began telling me about, you know, the lay of the land and the culture of the black people up there, the Gullah Geechee. Quite a history, fascinating. And I started taking car trips up there, and it really is. It, in particular, and for the first book, was outside of Beaufort are the Sea Islands, St. Helena's Island, Hunter's Island. They all surround, actually, Paris Island. Everyone seems to know Paris Island, the Marine training base.
Yes.
It's just a beautiful piece of America. But then he started sending me articles about an island off the coast of Georgia, and I went there, and this was this blew me away. If you like going back to nature type of thing, You could only get to this island either by ferry or a small, I guess what they call a biplane. And it's a huge island. It's probably the size of Manhattan, but wider. And there's nothing on this island. There's no, you know, there's no post office. There's no police department, no schools. There is a university that does marine biology at the north end. And the old R.J. Reynolds plantation house serving as a museum bed and breakfast on the south end. But in the middle of this island somewhere are 80 families that have been there since pre-Civil War, this Gullah, Geechee, you know, group of people. And I went there for 10 days, and yeah, it was fascinating to just be on this kind of, you know, they do get TV via a satellite dish, but it's really, it's there's no McDonald's there.
Well, yeah. When you say it's remote, that doesn't even do it justice, does it? I mean, it's just sort of this isolated territory that they have there.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the book is fictional, but it's based on my experiences on this island. And again, there was a little convenience store that someone had set up for the ecologists that, you know, descend on the area, you know, bird lovers and all sorts of wildlife there. But I was there 10 days, and I just fell in love with this place.
You know, that's interesting because as you read the book, you're very descriptive of the territory, of the characters, of the situation, to find that that was actually based on research the time that you were there. We're talking with Robert Nieder. He's the author of the book Battersea Island. It's available all across the country. Information at his website, bobnieder.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on. I mentioned Matthias. Let's talk about the main character, Matthias Kamau, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, Barrett. Drops out of college, goes off to the island. Tell me a little bit about Matthias.
Well, Matthias is a very bright young man, has a dad, you know, his mom is deceased. And I guess like most young college people, we want to find a way and make a difference and get involved in something that we feel is meaningful and important. So that he does, descends on Battersea Island, where the residents are facing this incredible tax assessment hike from the county in an effort to get, you know, these people off the land. And what Matthias carries is an unusual gift, a little paranormal. It's what in the book is referred to as the sense, almost like a high level of intuition where he can sense, read, feel people almost upon contact, and he becomes a great aide with this ability, and he has a high level of education, so he's a great aide to Harper Shea, the woman on the island who is a lead advocate of the residents there to fight the county, almost a David and Goliath type scenario, the county versus the little guy. And again, it sort of weaves a little suspense. There's a murder. There's a little deception. And who will win at the end of the day?
You know, it's interesting because in the books, and this the book we're talking about is Bob's second, Battersea Island, the first ascent of a hummingbird. There's sort of a slight spiritual messages that you'll read throughout, some subtle social issues that you bring up. You really, besides entertaining people with the great story, you try to get them thinking during the process of reading the books as well, don't you?
You know, it's an intent of mine. It is an intent. But I found as I started writing, I drift away from what I really want to get to. And again, I don't want to be the person that's standing on a soapbox and banging the drum. You know, we've all met these people, and God
exactly,
bless them.
Yes.
But sometimes the message becomes a bit much. We see that today in everyday politics and the diversion that we're running into. But I like a little spiritualness in a slightly, I'm not Stephen King, you know, I'm not trying to create that kind of character. But I also do like to touch on slight racial issues and raise that awareness somewhat. There is a book I plan to do that might be very strong in that arena, but that's yet to be done. And I think I'm sensitive, or, you know, I clue into this because I am a mixed breed by race and culture. So, again, growing up in New York City, remembering the 50s, the 60s, and the racism that we saw, the blatant segregation, you know, we all remember this.
Yes.
And it's something I'd like to see us move away from as a society.
Well, Matthias is an interesting character and develops throughout the book, and multicultural, as you mentioned, and this paranormal ability, the sense, as you refer to it in the book. He's really a fascinating character. How did you develop this character? How did you come up with Matthias? You got Battersea Island, and you're thinking, this is a great locale. This would be a great place to a setting for a novel. How did you come up with Matthias, the other characters, and the plot for the story?
Well, that one was easy because Matthias, as you read the book, is carrying this gift, the sense, that his mother maintained on a very stronger level. How I came up with this, not quite sure, Rick. You know, it could have been just a little daydreaming over a pint of beer at the local tiki hut.
That works.
Yeah, that's the beauty of where I live. You know, there's the water, there's the live music, you know, very light live music, and a couple of pints. As I've told my wife, I believe I'm like F. Scott Fitzgerald. You know, I need my drink, I need my laptop, and I need to work. And then I realized, no, I'm not F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Interesting. In the beginning of the book, you thank them. So you were serious about thanking them. It was that atmosphere that helped the creative juices flow to come up with the book Battersea Island.
Yeah. And again, Battersea Island, and personally, Rick, I do like that story. I think of the three books, because there's a third one coming out that has nothing to do with this. Battersea is probably the strongest, but Battersea, I always refer to Battersea Island as an extension, not a sequel, but an extension of Sense of a Hummingbird, because that activity of that paranormal is heavy in that first book.
And brought out in the book Battersea Island, Robert H. Nieder, our guest on the program, author of the book. Nieder is N-I-E-D-E-R. His website is bobnieder.com. You go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly. How long did it take to do Battersea Island? How long did it take to lay this out and feel that, okay, I've got a compelling story here now, I'm ready to publish?
I wrote the story probably in about 4 months. But then it's the going over and going back and redoing. And, you know, somebody that does, I have an acquaintance on the other side of Florida that does youth adult books, young adult books.
Yes.
And he said the best thing to do is write your story and walk away from it for a good 6 months and then reread it. I didn't take his advice on my first book, and then I realized when I did Battersea Island, just leave it alone, work on something else, and come back to it, and then it's almost like it's brand new, and you could really see the flaws and the errors and where you want to add or subtract verbiage. So from the point that I started writing it to when Book Venture, my publisher, has released it, it's a good year and a half, 2 years.
Where did this process, this interest in writing, begin? I mentioned in the background, you're from New York City, a high-powered life there. That's life in the fast lane in New York, involved in the health insurance, health care, trucking business, all of that, to retiring in Florida and being by yourself and writing. When did this interest in writing start for you?
13 years old, 8th grade, Henry Hudson Junior High School. How's that?
Boy, you got it. Do you do in the month and day? Other than that, you've got everything there. That's interesting. You can trace it back to that that specific time period. What was it at that point that got you interested? Like, I really like books, and I'd like to write one.
8th grade, had an English teacher, Mr. Sanchez, long gone now. But he had us read, you know, you have to do your little book reports when you're in eighth grade. And the first book he had asked us to read was The Pearl by John Steinbeck.
Yes.
Not a terribly long story, but I read this. And it is my introduction to real literature by a great author. And I just fell in love with the language and the imagery. And from there, I basically, on my own, took off, started reading everything I could, which was all of John Steinbeck's works. You know, Grapes of Wrath totally knocked me out. From there, I went to Charles Dickens, because, again, we had to read Charles Dickens in ninth grade for a school book project. But, again, the imagery, the metaphors, everything that Charles Dickens, this is why these guys are the masters. And I just couldn't get enough books to read. And it was at that point where I said, I want to grow up to be like John Steinbeck. Even though Mickey Mantle was my idol, I just wasn't that good of an athlete.
Yes.
And, you know, as they say, books will take you anywhere, whatever the genre. And, again, I fell in love with the written word. Right down to Shakespeare. Once you capture or understand Old English, Shakespeare is, especially for me, the tragedies are terrific. But I always seem to find a reason and an excuse to not write. But somewhere, like I say, recently retired, I realized, you know, I'm not one to just sit around and watch TV. I said, why don't we write a book? And, again, it was my friend Jerry Forster when he gave me this whole Gullah background and history and the culture. And he said, go up to the islands, take a look, and it might inspire you to do something. And it sure did. Sure did.
Well, you've really captured that area, especially, like I say, now understanding there really is a place that you're depicting in the book, Battersea Island. The character development, and a couple of minutes left in the program, talk about that. Now that you've got a plot, you've got the location, you've got the plot, now you've got to weave in some characters. How difficult is that to come up with the right number of characters and to be able to develop those characters so we feel something for them as readers?
Well, I've been told I tend to develop too many characters, so we do cut it down a bit. But character development, for me, this is the fun part of writing. I, especially the main characters, these characters are real to me. You know, if I talk enough about this, you may want to have me committed. But the characters become real. I see them. I can touch them. Some of them I could literally talk to. The third book, Lacey's Choice, that, I don't know, that might be released in about 6 months. We're in the edit process. But I swear, Rick, this little young 9-year-old, Lacey, would literally talk to me as I would go to bed. And I would, like, lay in bed and just, like, leave me alone. Shut up. And my wife would, well, who are you talking to? Is that Lacey? And she says, do we need help here? But I enjoy, because to me, they're all real. I can see them probably to the point where every little nuance that I wouldn't be able to write about. But again, it's fun to come up with a name and see that character. In my mind, they come to life.
Well, you're, in essence, creating your own world, aren't you?
Yeah, I do live in a fantasy, Rick. I'm an only child, so there's a lot of fantasy in my world, I believe.
Well, you've done an excellent job of bringing that out in the book, Battersea Island, to talk about the new book. Is the third book, is that ready to go, or are you doing finishing touches on that?
Finishing touches with the editor. Like I say, I hate the editor, but I've come to learn that they're a lot smarter than the writer, so just go with it. They do a great job. They do a great job.
A minute or so left in the program, you mentioned some of the authors that have impressed you. Who are some of the authors that have influenced the way you go about writing, the technique you use?
It would be John Steinbeck. That's probably the only one because, excuse me, not only did I love his style of writing, but he was alive when I was a young boy, and you get to read a lot. His bio, his life, right down to Travels with Charlie, his final book when he toured America in a, what do you call them, like a camping bus with his dog Charlie and just wanted to see America.
Yes.
And he's my guy. I wish he was alive today where I could talk to him, send him correspondence. But again, in my opinion, nobody captures humanity like Steinbeck, and I wish I could be a percentage as good as he was.
Well, you've really learned from him, and it's so nice to be able to read the works of some of the great writers like that and try to emulate their writing. The new book is called Battersea Island by our guest on the program, Robert H. Nieder, N-I-E-D-E-R. His website is bobnieder.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to get information on the book. The first book is also available, Sense of a Hummingbird, and in maybe 6 months or so, we'll have a third novel out from Bob. Bob, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. Hopefully, we'll have you back in the program to talk about book number three here at some point.
Rick, it's been a pleasure. I would love to be back, and I really want to thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure hanging out together for the last 20 minutes. I love that expression because that's what we try to do, to talk about the book that you've got out currently, Battersea Island, available all across the country. And again, information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The program continues right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.